Thank you, Max, for leading us in song as we raised our voices up in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, Andrew, for your prayer. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us that reading there from Acts chapter 10. And when I think about that reading there from Acts chapter 10, I commonly think about the first gospel meeting mentioned there in the Holy Writ. And when I think about that, I think about the first time that one was called and sent to preach the gospel. And Peter being called and sent to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And with that thought in mind, I thought that it would be good for us to take some time to discuss for a few moments this morning some benefits of a gospel meeting. You see, as we are all aware of, Lord willing, our gospel meeting will begin next Sunday morning. And we have invited Lanny Smith from Fishers, Indiana, to bring us a series of lessons from God's all-inspired Word. And we are confident that he will do a fine job in doing that. However, there are many today who believe that gospel meetings, they really aren't that needful today. I venture to say that you probably have talked to some, probably even recently, who view gospel meetings of being a waste of time, who view gospel meetings of being a thing of the past. However, we need to be mindful of the fact that there are a great many opportunities provided by a gospel meeting. Looking at the picture behind us on the screen there, some of you may be old enough to remember those tent meetings. And those tent meetings, as we see there on our screen, they used to last for weeks upon weeks, didn't they? Some of those meetings would go 2-3 weeks or even longer. And today you're hearing of many congregations who are really limiting their time with gospel meetings. They're actually doing what they call weekend meetings. Some are even doing what they call a Sunday through a Wednesday meeting. They're just shrinking and shorting the time available for gospel meetings. And again, a lot of this is happening because there are many today who believe that gospel meetings, they're just a waste of time. They're not a benefit. But we need to be mindful that there are benefits from having a gospel meeting. And with our gospel meeting just being around a corner, I thought it would be profitable for us to discuss some things that can be provided by a gospel meeting. And I want to begin by suggesting to you this morning that a gospel meeting provides the opportunity to hear the Word of God proclaimed. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Now what greater opportunity can be provided than that? What greater opportunity can be provided than the opportunity to hear God's Word proclaimed? There is no greater opportunity provided than that, is there? And a gospel meeting provides that opportunity to hear God's Word proclaimed. You see, men who are given the privilege to speak during gospel meetings are entrusted to be one who speaks as the oracles of God. We learn there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. To be simply put, what Peter was saying is if anyone speaks in regard to representing God, he must speak in harmony with divine revelation. We have confidence that Lanny's going to do just that next week. We have confidence that Lanny's going to speak as the oracles of God. He's going to speak in harmony with divine revelation. And because of that, next week, beginning April 3rd through the 8th, it's going to provide a great opportunity to come together to hear God's Word proclaimed. And some of you may be thinking, well, what's some importance of that? Well, first and foremost, the importance of hearing God's Word proclaimed is as we see there in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. That's a passage that's familiar with many of us. And what did Paul inform there in Romans 10 and verse 17? He said, so then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. You see that? Simply put, Paul tells us that the source of faith comes by the hearing of God's Word. And even fast forward, going or backing up there, rewinding there to those previous verses there in Romans chapter 10. The question was even asked in regard to how one can believe in something in whom they have not heard. Now, how can one believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ unless they hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? They can't, can they? And how can they hear without a preacher, right? That preacher being one who proclaims God's word. Again, our gospel meeting is going to provide that opportunity. It's going to provide the opportunity to hear God's word proclaimed, reminding us that that's important because of the fact that faith comes by hearing of God's word. It's also important because hearing God's word proclaimed provides an opportunity to build us up. You see, there are some who think that gospel meetings, they're a thing of the past because, unfortunately, not very many people are converted to Christ during gospel meetings today. And some think, well, the only purpose of a gospel meeting is to convert new converts to Christ. They think that that's the only purpose of a gospel meeting. But I want you to be aware of, that's not the only purpose of a gospel meeting. You see, the purpose of a gospel meeting obviously is to spread the gospel of Christ. And we hope that some who have never heard the gospel will hear the gospel and that word will fall upon good and honest hearts and that they will be converted to Christ. We desire that. We pray for that, don't we? But you want to know something? Another purpose of a gospel meeting is to build up those of us who are already saints. That's important. You see, we need to recognize that those of us who have already been converted, we need to be built up. And gospel meetings provide that opportunity. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about what Paul commended those elders in Ephesus there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Notice these words of the apostle. He said, I commend you. Commend you to what, Paul? To God and to the word of his grace. Why, Paul? Well, notice, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Notice what Paul said there. Simply put, Paul's saying, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that you might grow strong and ultimately receive the promised inheritance as faithful children. That tells us something, doesn't it? That tells us that the proclaiming of God's word is beneficial to those of us who are already children of God, doesn't it? And it's going to be profitable for us to hear God's word proclaimed because it's going to make us stronger. It's going to build us up. And we need that, don't we? We certainly do. But to be simply put, a gospel meeting provides opportunity to hear the word of God proclaimed, and that's very important because God's word is able to save souls. It's able to save souls, as we learned there in James chapter 1 and in verse 21. When James said, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You see that? Some may be asking, well, how is that possible? Well, I'll tell you how that's possible. It's possible when the word of God is planted in the heart of man and it takes root. And when it takes root, it then has the power to save the soul. You see that? That's important, isn't it? That's very important. In our upcoming gospel meeting, it's going to provide those opportunities. But another opportunity provided by a gospel meeting that I suggest to us this morning is it provides the opportunity for us to do some self-examining. You see, we need to be mindful of the need to take some time to examine ourselves in light of God's all-inspired word. Even as Christians, we're instructed to take some time to examine ourselves. And our upcoming gospel meeting is going to provide us with opportunities to examine ourselves in light of God's all-inspired word. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of Jeremiah found recorded there in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. And there in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, Jeremiah, speaking to God's people of old, simply instructed them to search out and examine their ways. Brethren, next week, Lord willing, during our gospel meeting, we need to be mindful of the need to be searching out and examining our ways in light of God's all-inspired word. We need to be mindful of Paul's instruction to the saints in Corinth there in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And we need to examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. Simply put, we need to be doing a self-inspection. You see, we have an obligation. Not only the instruction given for us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, but also the obligation as individual Christians to be examining ourselves. I ask, how you doing? Where are you at in the faith? Where are you at? How you doing? We need to know, don't we? And gospel meetings provide that opportunity to do some self-examining. It provides the opportunity for us to examine ourselves in light of God's all-inspired word. Remembering, as we've said before, that God's word is the mirror for the soul. We can learn about this there in James chapter 1. Go back with me, if you will, there in your Bibles, there to James chapter 1. And beginning there, again in verse 21, James says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overthrow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Now watch verse 22. He says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only." Why, James? Deceiving yourselves. I want you to think about that for a moment. James says if you just hear the word and you let it go in one ear and out the other and you fail to properly make application of that, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 23, he says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," that is God's word, "and continues in it, and is not a guiltful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." See, we need to take heed to those words of James. We need to not only be hearers of God's word, but also doers of God's word. We need to look into God's word for his instruction. And if we see that there are some things that is instructed in his divine word that we need to change or correct or make proper application of in our lives, we need to make those changes, don't we? We need to make those changes. We need to be like the psalmist of old and take every opportunity to examine ourselves and to think about our ways. I want you to go with me there to Psalm 119. And I want you to notice these words of the psalmist found here in Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 59. There the psalmist said, "I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies." Now watch verse 60. "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." Let those words of the psalmist marinate for a moment. The psalmist said, "I thought about my ways." Next week during our gospel meeting, brethren, I encourage you to think about your ways. Do some self-examining. But I also want you to notice what the psalmist said there in verse 60. He said, "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." The application I want you to make from that is, as you're thinking about your ways, as God's word is being proclaimed, and you recognize that you're failing to keep the commandments of the Lord, that you recognize that you're amiss, that there's something amiss in your life, I want you to recognize the need to do as the psalmist and not delay to keep the Lord's commandments. Simply put, brethren, as you're doing some self-examining during our upcoming gospel meeting, if you find that there are some corrections that need to be made in your life, don't delay to make those corrections. Don't delay to make those corrections. Recognizing that our gospel meeting provides an opportunity to examine self. But another thing I suggest to us this morning in regard to a gospel meeting and the opportunities provided by a gospel meeting is it provides the opportunity for us to grow spiritually. You see, spiritual growth, it's vital for each and every one of us, isn't it? Spiritual growth is necessary. It's vital. And when I think about that, I think about the words of Jesus found there in Matthew chapter 4. And remember what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 4? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Think about those words of Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, he said. Well, we all recognize that bread, it's vital in order for us to physically survive, isn't it? It's vital. Without it, our physical bodies would die, right? But Jesus said man shouldn't live by that alone, but also by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know what that tells us? It tells us that God's word is likewise vital for the spiritual well-being of each and every one of us. It's vital. It's needed. In order for one to thrive and grow spiritually, they must feed upon God's word. Again, our gospel meeting is going to provide that opportunity. It's going to provide the opportunity for us to come together from Sunday, April 3rd through Friday, April 8th, to feed upon God's word so that we can grow spiritually. And when I think about spiritual growth, I can't help but to think about those that were rebuked there in Hebrews chapter 5. If you recall there in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, we learn about some who were rebuked for a simple reason, because they failed to grow spiritually. They were spiritually immature. And because of that, the Hebrews writer is rebuking them, right? He tells them, for by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. But instead, they still need what? The milk of the Word. They weren't growing spiritually. They were spiritually immature. And we need to recognize, brethren, the need to grow spiritually. And the only way that we're going to grow spiritually and to thrive spiritually is by being one who has a regular diet of feeding upon God's Word. It's vital for our spiritual growth, isn't it? And that opportunity that is going to be provided for us is coming up in our upcoming gospel meeting to grow spiritually. And we need to be mindful of the need to be a people who earnestly desire the Word of God. We learn about that there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 in regard to newborn babies. How they desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? That they may grow thereby. Failure to desire God's Word, failure to feed upon God's Word, is going to be failure to grow spiritually. We want to avoid that, don't we? But rather, we want to be a people who grow spiritually. And in order to do that, we must feed upon God's Word. And we need to be mindful of the need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just as Peter instructed those early Christians to do there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Remember that, brethren. And strive to grow in both favor and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remembering, as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6, that blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But another thing that a gospel meeting provides is a gospel meeting provides the opportunity to be encouraged and to be edified and to edify one another. You see, when I think about that, when I think about gospel meetings providing the opportunity to encourage and to edify one another, I think about the examples that are given to us in the New Testament in regard to early Christians being sent to other Christians for the purpose to encourage and edify them. One example that comes to my mind is that example of Barnabas. We learn about that there in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. And there in those passages, we learn about Barnabas being sent to go out as far as Antioch. But I want you to notice verse 23, what is recorded there in regard to when he came to Antioch. It says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And then what did he do? He encouraged them with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. You see that? Here's an example of Barnabas being sent out by the early church to go to the saints in Antioch. And when he had came to Antioch and saw that they were serving the Lord, he was glad. You know what that tells us? It tells us he was encouraged. But not only was he encouraged, he also did what? Encouraged them with purpose of heart to continue with the Lord. You see, when I think about that, I even think about my past experiences in gospel meetings. And in gospel meetings, you always go to a meeting to be an encourager. That's your purpose. You want to go there to encourage them, just as Barnabas did, these early saints, to continue in the Lord. You want to go there to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them up. Your purpose is to be an encourager, just as Barnabas was. But you want to know something? I certainly leave encouraged when I go to gospel meetings. I go to be an encourager, but I leave being encouraged. And that's the way it should be, right? I want us to be mindful of that next week. Lanny's going to come here like Barnabas to encourage us. To encourage us to keep on keeping on and to strengthen us in the Lord. But I also want us to be mindful of the need for us to encourage him. We want Lanny to leave this gospel meeting encouraged. And we need to do our part in that, brethren. Recognizing that gospel meetings offer the opportunity to be encouraged. And just as Barnabas was encouraged, just as he was glad when he came to those saints in Antioch, and just as he encouraged them, let us likewise do the same next week. I also think about what is recorded there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 in regard to Paul telling the church in Thessalonica for reason why they sent Timothy. And Paul says there in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 3 that we sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Why? To establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. You see that? Again, we can recognize that gospel meetings provide opportunities to be encouraged. And because of that, we need to pursue things by which we may edify one another. We talked about that in our Bible study this morning there in Romans chapter 14, verse 19. One of those things that we need to be pursuing as Christians is we need to be pursuing things by which we may edify or build up another. Gospel meetings provide that opportunity. We need to take advantage of that opportunity. And we need to recognize how important it is that we encourage and exhort one another. Again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the passages there in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, We're familiar with that warning that the Hebrews writer gave to those Christians. To beware. Why? Lest they depart from the living God. And then he goes on to tell them what in verse 13? To exhort one another. How often? Daily. Daily. To be simply put, the Hebrews writer was instructing those early Christians to exhort or strongly urge or encourage one another daily to keep on keeping on. We have an opportunity coming up for us next week to do that. To encourage one another daily through Sunday, April 3rd through Friday, April 8th. To encourage one another. To keep on keeping on. That's a great opportunity, isn't it? We ought to take advantage of that opportunity. And may we all always take advantage of every opportunity we have to consider one another and to stir up love and good works. Again, there in the book of Hebrews, we learn there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, another instruction that the Hebrews writer gives to Christians, that instruction to stir up one another for love and good works. How's that going to be done? Well, first of all, it's going to be done by considering one another. When we consider one another, we can effectively stir up one another for love and good works. And we can do so by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, how encouraging is it going to be for each and every one of us if each and every one of us that was here this morning is here every day of our upcoming gospel meeting? Amen. That's going to be encouraging, isn't it? That's going to be encouraging for us all if we all take advantage of the opportunity that we have next week to come together every day to hear God's word proclaimed and take advantage of the opportunity that we have to stir one another up for love and good works. Think about that. Recognize your part in that. Strive to fulfill your part in that. And let's take advantage of the opportunity that we have provided by our gospel meeting to come together to encourage and edify one another. But another thing I suggest to us in regard to benefit of a gospel meeting is a gospel meeting provides the opportunity to glorify God. You see, when it comes down to it, that's all that matters, isn't it? When it comes down to it, when it comes down to a gospel meeting, glory isn't to be given to the speaker of the gospel meeting. No glory belongs to man. Glory isn't to be given to this local church here at Belleville. But rather, glory is to be given to our Almighty God. And we need to be mindful of that, brethren, mindful of the fact that a gospel meeting provides us the opportunity to give glory to whom glory belongs. When I think about that, I think about how it's important that we recognize the fact that to glorify God is to extol, that is to enthusiastically praise Him. And when we extol God, we highly praise God. And we need to be mindful of what the psalmist said there in Psalm 108 and verse 5 about how God is to be exalted above all. That's what we just talked about, right? Glory belongs to no one but God. And God is to be exalted above all. There in Psalm 108, which is a psalm of David, it's interesting about this psalm. I won't go into a lot of detail, but this is actually a psalm that is composed of two separate psalms put together to make this psalm. But here in Psalm 108 and in verse 5, David said, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth." Once more, God is to be exalted and or glorified above all. And we need to be mindful that all glory belongs to God forever and ever. We learn about that there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20 and even going back there to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. We learn about the fact that glory belongs forever and ever to God. Knowing that, we need to always seek to take advantage of every opportunity we have to let our light so shine and to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Jesus gave that instruction, didn't he, there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16? Remember that? When Jesus instructed us to let our light so shine before men, why? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Next week, it's going to provide an opportunity for us to come together daily to let our lights shine. But most importantly, to provide the opportunity to give God the glory. And we need to remember, my beloved brother, as we talked about this morning in our adult Bible study, the need to do whatever we do, to do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31. A gospel meeting provides some great opportunities, doesn't it? We need to be mindful of that. And although these are just a few examples of some opportunities that a gospel meeting can provide, we need to strive to be one who takes advantage of the opportunities which are provided by a gospel meeting. We need to plan to attend and to invite others to our upcoming gospel meeting. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. We don't want you to wait until next week to obey the gospel. But rather, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel this very hour. For if you have heard the word, for you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You can bury that old man of sin in that watery grave of baptism, and you can be raised up out of the watery grave and walk in newness of life. And you can walk out these doors this morning a child of God. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight, narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confessing to God and asking for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to request the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, don't wait any longer, but rather let your need be made known now while we stand and sing the song that Jesus, that Max has selected.